This could get a lot of fun. Well, God is good. Christmas time is amazing. And we're not going to leave the Christmas story yet. We're going to actually revisit the Christmas story this morning, at least part of it. The bit of a narrative in Luke chapter 1 where the angels come, the angel comes to Mary. And I know we've already celebrated the birth of Jesus. And in some of our minds, we're way beyond that now. As a matter of fact, probably in a couple of days, everything goes back in the box, right? And we can move on. We can get off of Christmas and move on. But, you know, there's just so much wrapped up within this story that as we take time to unwrap the Christmas story all year long, boy, there's truth there. There's power for us there. There is such encouragement for us there. Making the impossible possible. You know, there's a guy who was driving his car down the road, and he saw a young man hitchhiking. And he normally doesn't pick up hitchhikers, but he decided, I'm going to do that today. So he stopped and he picked up a hitchhiker. And this young man, the young hitchhiker, got in his car, and he was a little surprised that actually anybody stopped for him, because it just wasn't something that people did much anymore. And he crawled in the car, and they greeted one another, and then the young hitchhiker said, you know, I'm kind of surprised that you stopped to pick me up. What made you pick me up? I mean, weren't you afraid that maybe I was a serial killer or something? And the driver just smiled and he said, the chances of there being two serial killers in the same car are just about nothing. God is a God of the impossible. He makes possibilities happen. And in this story, we see that as the angel comes to Mary and tells her that you're going to have a baby, he's going to be the Son of God. You'll name him Jesus or Yeshua, because he's going to be the Savior of the world. He's the promised Messiah, and you get to have him and you get to raise him. And of course, Mary was just wondering, how's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. This wasn't on my agenda. I'm betrothed to be married to a nice man. This wasn't part of the deal. How is this going to happen? And the angel just said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will conceive, and you will have this baby. And then the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby will be born, and he will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And so Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. May everything you have said about me come true. You know, this last year, we've, as a church, gone through a lot of changes. A lot of changes. As individuals, you have gone through a lot of changes. How many times have the cells in your body changed, you know, within the scope of 1 year? And yet, here you are. That's amazing. You know, all of the things that have taken place throughout this last year. At this time of year, we tend to get a little bit sober, so to speak, and we take stock. This is what's gone on in life. This is what's gone on in my home. This is what's gone on under the hood of my car. Maybe improvements. Maybe transplants. This is what's gone on with my health. This is what's gone on with my bank account. This is what's gone on with my friends, my family. This is what's gone on with our church. Many things have transpired over this last year. Many things. Pastor Mark, you've had a couple of changes maybe this last year. Just a couple small changes. You've had huge changes this year. And look at you. Here you are. It's as if nothing's happened. But that's not true, because a lot has happened. Some changes we embrace and some changes we find difficult to embrace. But by and large, as we consider changes in life, changes in our home, changes in especially when you think of in terms of improvement, you know, time goes by and we get to the point where we look back and we say, that's all okay. It's good. I survived. And here I am today. I don't think I'd want to go back, because this is where we are today. Relative to churches and the change in churches. You know, when one pastor departs and another one comes along, usually there's more than just a personnel change. There can be other changes as well. And even when the staff of a church remains static, when it remains the same for numerous years, every year brings new changes. Every year brings new changes. And most of it is by, I should say, when there are changes, it's generally by design of the leadership that we're going in this direction, we need to add this or take away this, we need to do this, or this, or this, or that, because we believe God is calling us in a particular direction, in a particular fashion. And so when we go through change, it's been said that change in a church can happen in months or in a year. But transformation, that moment when people no longer want it the way it was, usually takes at least 5 to 7 years. You know, we've been together as one church after being two separate churches a number of years ago for a number of years now. It still takes some getting used to. And yet here we are. And you know, I'm at the point now where I think back, what was it like when we were two separate churches, two separate families? And I think it was good. There were good things happening. But God brought us together for His purposes. And here we are. We've survived those things, and God has us together for a purpose. And I trust that you've come to the place in your heart and mind where you no longer think of us as two separate churches worshiping in the same place on Sunday morning, but that we're one, and we're together, and I wouldn't want to go back. I wouldn't want to go back to the way it used to be. This is where we are today. Someone else has said that simply maintaining what you've built never advances your mission, because it elevates what happened yesterday over what could happen today and tomorrow. We've had some good things happen within this last year. Some good things. And yet we can't hang our hat there and say, well, now this is just the way it's going to be forever, because we like it this way now. As parents, I know that there are times when our children are small and growing up, sometimes we want to hold on to our kids where they are and say, man, I wish you could just stay little forever. Kids, if you hear your parents say that, you wriggle out from their grip real fast and run. And you just say, thanks, Dad, thanks, Mom, but I really do want to grow up one day. I really want to spread my wings one day. But I know those moments. There are cherished moments that you want to hang on to and keep them in your heart forever. And the scripture tells us that Mary treasured things up in her heart too. She pondered them. She wondered, how can this be? This is impossible. What is the future going to be like? And she had plans. She was going to get married in her mind to this perfect gentleman, and they were going to have a perfect, normal, no drama marriage. And boy, was that out the window when the angel came and had the discussion with her. Things were going to change. And at that moment, Mary might have thought, I'm not sure I like this. This is going to be very uncomfortable. Don't know what's ahead. But boy, I think the best was behind me. And she was a young girl. She could have thought, because I don't know what's ahead, I think the best is back there. I wished I could just go back and hang on to what could have been and what was for a short time. And we all have those moments where we look back and we, with fondness, remember amazing times that took place in our families or in the life of the church, in our spiritual growth, the things that God has done in and through us. And if you haven't recently, make a list. Make a list of the amazing things that God has done in and through your life. Make that list and marvel at it. Just marvel at it. And rehearse those things once again. Not to say that this is the way I always want it to be, but to honestly celebrate and say, this is what God did. Because no one can take that away from you. In days to come, years to come, no one can take those things away from you. Those were amazing times when God touched your life or used you to touch someone else's life, to bring change to someone else's life forever. But be careful if you ever find yourself truly saying, I think the best days are behind me. Because it's been said that when your best days are behind you, it's time for a new future. You need a new future. We all need a new future. And change is always going to be with us. But it's transformation of the heart. It's transformation of the mind. It's transformation of our behavior, of who we are in Christ, that God is after day in and day out. And it's a process. It's a process. I don't think Mary had a clue when the angel first talked to her about what was going to take place in the future. She had lots of ponderings and lots of wonderings. But God said something to her through the angel about her cousin Elizabeth. He said, humanly speaking, it's impossible that this woman would conceive because of her age. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And then I love how Mary responded. Well, let it be to me just as you have spoken, just as you have said. The month of January, we're going to enter into a sermon series, teaching series on hearing the voice of God. And it's infinitely more than you think. Hearing the voice of God. What is it like when God speaks? What was it like when God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament? What was it like in the New Testament when God spoke through an angel, through a dream, through an idea, through another person, through the written word? What is it like today when God speaks to us? How can we discern His voice? How can we know when it's God speaking and when it's just simply our dreams and aspirations that are of the humankind? I think it's going to be really important for us. It's always important for us to hear God's voice and to respond accordingly. With God, nothing will be impossible. or without ability. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. Why? Because it's the voice of God that put it out there. And we're going to examine that in the next few weeks. What does it really mean when God speaks it out there? A freshly spoken word of God came through this angel. Let it be to me according to your word. When God speaks to you and you've discerned, that's what he's saying to you, that's the response, just like Mary, we ought to have as well. Let it be to me according to your word. Even if it seems impossible. And you know something? God is always wanting to give us assignments, to give us opportunities and assignments, to see his kingdom advanced, to see people have their hope restored where they've gotten into a hopeless situation, to see their minds quickened once again with the mind of Christ. God has never packed up Christmas and put it back in the box and said, no, that's done. We don't need that anymore. From the Father's perspective, he wants Christmas to happen every day of our lives, that we unpack the gifts of God, the realities of Christ coming to this world, the reality of heaven coming to this world, dwelling among us, Jesus paying for our sins on the cross, dying, rising and back to life again, and going back into heaven, and dispensing his Spirit to all who would believe. And every gift is available to us. Every spiritual gift is available to us. He desires for every one of us to unwrap those gifts and to be amazed at God working in our lives over and over and over again, every day. It should never get old. A lot of our Christmas gifts we get tired of. They get scratched, dented, ripped, torn, broken. A new trendy item comes out next week. That old gift is passé. We want something new. But the scripture tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. He puts into the hearts and minds and souls of those who are musicians and writers new songs all the time. Why do we want to sing new songs? Because they're still being written, because God has placed those songs in people's hearts, and many of those songs are meant to be sung by groups of people. We also sing some of the old songs too, because they're precious. God was going to do something that was absolutely humanly and utterly impossible. Now let's look at another side of how Mary maybe responded. Maybe she wasn't so frightened. Maybe she was an eager person. Maybe she was a real go-getter. And maybe her heart for God just kept on saying, more of you, Lord, more of you, Lord. Jehovah, more of you. Father, more of you, more of you, more of you, God. I desire more of your presence, more of your power, more of your goodness. And maybe when the angel spoke that to Mary, maybe Mary's response basically was, bring it on, God. Bring it on. If I can participate in this, yes. Yes. You've chosen me? Whoa. I don't get it. I'm just an average young gal. But if you're saying this to me, okay, I'm in. Both feet, I'm jumping right now. Wanted more. More of what God had to do in her life. It's also been said, though, that while God's gifts are free, maturity can be expensive. And it's the maturing process as we enter into utilizing the gifts that the Spirit gives to us that we grow, and sometimes we will make mistakes, and that's okay. And sometimes God will lead us into difficult places where it will cost us much. Because the more we say yes to God, the more we say no to the selfish, humanistic tendencies that we all possess. We have to let go and let go and let go. If we are people that say, "More of you, Lord," every time we're going to have to let go of something of the human, something of the selfish, something of the unrighteous, in order to obtain more of God's presence. Have you ever been in a situation in life where you thought, life just doesn't get any better? How can it get any better? You ever been in that situation? No responses. Would you like to be in a situation where life just can't get any better? How's that? Lots of nods. Yeah. Yeah, let's go there. Let's go there. You know, God is so good. And maybe your situation is a little different in some ways, but I grew up without any recollection, no memory of never knowing about God. I believe I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home where our parents took us to church, took us to Sunday school, taught us in the home, devotions, prayed with us, all of those things. I have no memory of not knowing God. I've always believed in God, and as soon as I was able to, as a little fella, I wanted the Lord Jesus in my life. And you know, as I read the Bible, I believe God gave me faith as well to believe that what is in the Bible is truth. And it's all there, and it's meant for us to utilize today. So we read the miracles. We read the miracles of the Old Testament. We read the miracles of the New Testament. You know, was it Elijah or Elisha who helped the guys with the axe head? Which one was that? Do you remember? I get those guys mixed up. It's just a couple of consonants anyways, right? But you know, I would read those stories. So these young prophets lost an axe head, and it's in this body of water somewhere, and they're pulling their hair out. And I'm thinking, just go buy another one. But that wasn't the case. They didn't come by that easily. And so here the prophet of God comes along. What does he do? He takes a stick and throws it out over the water, and the axe head floats to the surface. What's the connection? So as a little kid, I'm thinking, oh, if I lose a piece of metal, I'll just take a piece of wood and throw it out, and it'll float. No, I actually didn't think that. I'm thankful that in my childlikeness, I believed that story. And I believed that if there was ever another situation like that in the future, maybe God would do that again. Maybe he would help me out in some fashion. And he has. But I always believed that what was in the Bible was true. So it would come to the spiritual gifts. It would come to learning about healing the sick, raising the dead, seeing blind eyes open, deaf ears hearing, all of those kinds of things. I believed that that was still God's prerogative today, that that's who he was. Why would he not do those things today? That God still spoke to people today. If he spoke like he did in the Bible, he can still do that today. If he saved like he did in the Bible, he can save us today. That if the gift of prophecy and tongues and all of those other their sign gifts are there in the Bible, they're there for us today. I believed that for a long time, though. In my circles, I didn't see those kinds of things happening very often, if at all, in some cases. And yet, is God not the God of the impossible? And I always believed, well, at some point, Lord, I don't know what it is. Maybe I have to achieve some standing. and then you'll give me these gifts. But that's not a biblical pattern. Maybe God, if I study even harder and understand all these verses of Scripture and have them all in perfect context, then I can pull them out and apply them and you'll come and you'll heal. But that's not part of the biblical context either, because it depends, does not depend on what you and I can do. It depends on us being willing people who believe and have faith that God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And God was proving that to Mary, and he still proves it to us today. There was a time when I thought, man, life doesn't get any better than this. I mentioned that a few moments ago. I was pastoring in the first church, little country church near Edmonton. We were there for 4 years. And it was in the early part of that, just before we went there, moved up there, and in the early part of that ministry when I was at college, I did a study on signs and wonders in the Scriptures relative to church growth. So I went, how does that fit together? Is there a correlation? So I began to study these things, the sign gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And does that have something to do with churches growing? And about that time, there was a conference in Edmonton. John Wimber and the Vineyard Movement, the Vineyard churches, they were up there. And there were all kinds of other speakers as well. And I was so curious, and so I went. I think you came to one or two sessions maybe, Terry. And it was an amazing time. Man, I'll tell you, some the things that I read about and believed in my heart here, I was seeing firsthand. And I've mentioned these things before, but there were people there who were deaf and they began hearing. There were people there who were blind and they began seeing. There was one guy there who was missing his set of teeth, and he started growing a brand new set of teeth. There were people there who were set free from all kinds of things. It's like there was this fresh green grass just growing everywhere, spiritually speaking. And it was exciting and it was alive. And so I gobbled up all of the worship cassettes I could get from the Vineyard music. And actually, Terry and I went, when we go visit some people that we knew out in Langley area, twice we went to the Langley Vineyard Church. And the first time we walked in, the worship was already started. And you and I walked in, and we found a place near the back with your relatives. And we sat down, and we were in the worship. And then there was the message and more worship. And when we came out, then we compared notes. And I said, I don't know what just happened in there. But as soon as we walked in, I felt like weeping. I felt like weeping. There was something being drawn out of me. And it was good. And Terry had much the same experience. Just to be in a place where the worship of God was absolutely real and heartfelt, and his presence was so thick. And that's what we desire here, not? That's what we desire week in and week out. And you know, I'm so encouraged when people have told me that they have sensed that here often over the last number of years until today. And it will carry on beyond. That when we get together for worship, our focus is on Jesus Christ and on his presence and on his goodness. And everything else just melts aside for those moments. And it's kind of like we get reoriented. We get reconfigured, recalibrated in our heart before God. But when I got those first cassette tapes, when I was pastoring in the little country church, I did a lot of driving in the country, because out in the country as a country pastor, you visit everybody, lots. They just want you to drop in. And I was doing a Bible study in Vagerville midweek, so I would drive from Holden up to Vagerville, about a half-hour drive. And in one of those drives coming home, I had Vineyard music on, Vineyard worship music. And I turned it as high as I could turn it in without busting the little speakers and the little Ford Courier that I had. And I'm driving down this gravel country road, the presence of the Lord just, it's hard to describe. Little stick shift, I've got my left hand on the steering wheel and my right hand keeps going up like this. The problem was there was a ceiling. And I felt, if I push any harder on the ceiling, there's going to be a bowl in the top of the ceiling. I wanted more of God. I wanted to pull him into the truck, but I finally realized he's already in here. I just wanted to be so close. I was just praising and worshiping. And then I also noticed that both my feet were pretty heavy against the, well, my left foot against the firewall and my right foot against the accelerator, and I'm screaming down this gravel road, and I realize I better slow down. But in that moment, sensing God's presence so real and powerful, I thought, it doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better than this. If God was any closer, I would be consumed. I was so wrong. It was beautiful and wonderful. And for me, I used to lead worship a lot back then in the small churches because there weren't as many people. But I would often rehearse by myself in my little office in the house, in the parsonage that we lived in. And there were times I'd be down on my knees and tears would come down my face. And I'm a very private person that way. I find it really hard to escape the privacy thing. But when I'm at home alone and in those kinds of situations, it's like no holds barred. God, just, I want to be in your presence. But I don't want to go and relive those days because this is different. I've learned more. I've experienced more. That was great and it was wonderful and I celebrate that. But God, what else have you got? What else have you got? What else are you holding out for us? What is beyond the horizon of New Year's Eve into 2019? What are you holding out for us? Because I know that God has so much for us. And when we came together as two churches, it was good. Challenging at times, but good. And I wouldn't want to go back. And here we are. What's ahead? And I think every time God says, I have an assignment for you, it's going to be something that we look at it in our humanness and we wither and we go, that's impossible. And God says, you're exactly right. It's exactly right. Because I want to display my glory to the world around you. I want to display how good I am, how loving I am. And if you can do it on your own, they won't see me at all. The world needs to see me, God says. They need to see Jesus. They need to experience the Holy Spirit. They need to experience the presence of God. And men, I'll tell you, I would never claim that I've been there, done it, and I've got all the t-shirts. And, you know, you got a question about the Holy Spirit, just come and ask, because I know. I would never claim that, because I'm on a journey. But I'm not content to just stay. God, what have you got next? What's around the corner? How are you going to speak to us in days to come? We were hoping to bring a young gal up from Redding, California, from Bethel, and the timing just didn't work out, so Lindsay Coyle is not able to come. At this time anyways, perhaps down the road. But like I said, we're going to start examining how does God speak to us in January. And what I'm so encouraged about, there are so many of you who have had experiences where God has said things to you. God has spoken to you and said, you go and tell this person this. And in obedience, you've struck out and you've done that. And good things take place. People are encouraged. Different ones of you have come to me and told me different things. You've gotten word pictures and had some kind of an impression and shared those things with me. You have no idea how that encourages me. Those are the kinds of things we need to be doing one to another to spur each other on to love and good deeds continuously. And I'm looking forward to having some of you share some of your stories about how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And you've been sharing that in appropriate contexts and the good things that are resulting. The Lord is looking for people who will simply come into alignment with what He has said. What has God said to you recently? What is God saying to this church? You know, when we first came together, we could have said, well, I think we'll need more room, so I think we should probably go out to the suburbs on the edge of the city somewhere and build. But we believed we're called to this community, to be here, to be salt and light right here in this community, and wherever you live and work as well. Big ideas come along. Over a year ago now, we put a letter of interest on the arena, just down here in the flats. That hasn't come to fruition. But we don't know ultimately what God's plans for that are because it's still there. The city has come back and said, you know, we just don't know what we're doing yet. We've got two properties. And the sense is that we need to do something so that we don't have two properties. But we need a property that is going to be very good to accommodate growing families and children in this community. We need an appropriate building so that on Sunday mornings we've got kids stuff going on, and when we want to have a prayer ministry or something happening up here, we don't have a free flow of children all over the place. We love kids, but you know what? We also need a place where they can totally be kids and rocket to the moon and back. And as adults, we can rock it in the way that that we like to rock it, I guess. We need a building that accommodates. This building doesn't suit for those purposes. What has God got in store? Don't know. But we're as the board, we are talking and dreaming and thinking together. Can we agree today to be people that when God speaks to us, we will have the same answer that Mary had? We are the Lord's servant. May it be to us as you have said. Because when God speaks and His word goes out, God never intends that it just goes into thin air and withers up and stops. He desires His word to come back. and be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. So I think in days ahead, wow. Every morning, we got to eat courage for breakfast. Then we got to pull on our courage socks and put on our courage jacket and our faith tunic. And we got to get out into the world and meet it head on, wrapped up in love and joy. Change comes quickly. Transformation takes time. We've seen a lot of changes this last year. We're in the process of being transformed more and more and more, and always will be, more and more into the image of Christ Jesus, more and more into us understanding who we are and why we're here. I think it was Mark Twain who said that the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. River Valley Community Churches in this community exists to reach this community and to see it transformed for Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there because you live in different places. Your communities need to be transformed. Your neighborhoods need to be transformed. You have been given everything you need for life and godliness in order to achieve the things that God has spoken into your life in these days. Can we agree together that we won't be satisfied with just what happened this last year? That God has more to do. Jesus got up in a synagogue, and he read from Isaiah, from a scroll that was handed to him. Isaiah was open, and he found the place that it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Then he gave the scroll back, and he said, "Today, in your presence, this has been fulfilled." And he never meant that, okay, now I've said that, that'll never happen again. He meant that as he said those words, that would continue to go out. His voice spoke those words. He said those same things into the lives and the minds and the hearts of his disciples. That resonated with them in such a fashion that they began to go out and do the same things that Jesus had instructed them and shown them to do. And it's been the same way ever since. And here we are as disciples, we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. But unless we are doing the things that Jesus has told us to do, let's not call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's not embarrass ourselves or the name of Christ. Let's be intent on trusting God at what he has said and what he has given to us. To see lives changed, first of all our own. To see our church more and more transformed, morphed into the gem that Jesus has in mind for this body of believers. And that as we spill out of the doors here every Sunday, that we take that forward and see our communities transformed. Someone has said that while feeding the poor is a good thing to do, but anyone who is not a believer can do it, there has to be an aspect of our service before the Lord that only he can do in and through us. It has to cross the line into the realm of impossibility, or it has not adequately given witness to the resurrected Jesus. And I'm not sure what you do with that, but I read that and I go, Lord, forgive me for little faith at times. Forgive me for not being more in people's face, I guess, even within the church, saying, let's not settle for anything unless it's supernaturally connected to the power of God. That all of our outreach, all of our witness, all of our caring within this body for one another and those beyond somehow has the Spirit and the presence and the provision of God coming alongside of us so that God is doing what is normally impossible, He is doing through us so that people can see how good God is and that we can experience and know and enjoy how good God is on a daily basis in our lives. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And we're going to sing that song again, the King of Heaven. And as we sing this song this morning, I so appreciate that many of you here have had experiences where God has touched your lives. People have prayed for you. Hands have been laid on you. Words have been spoken over you. You've been healed. You've been delivered. You've been set free. You've been given a new lease on life. And that's who God wants us to be. A body that reaches out in faith to see the impossible, humanly speaking, done in people's lives. I'm going to ask Pastor Ken and Carol, would you come up? And Terry will join me. And let's see here. Pastor Mark, would you join us up here as well? And Tom, would you join us? You two together, Pastor Mark and Tom. And as we sing this last song, if there's something that you're facing right now that you say, this is an impossibility, I can't shake this, I can't deal with this, I have no knowledge, maybe you need a physical healing, maybe you need an emotional healing, maybe you need to be set free from something, but you want someone of faith to pray over you, and I'm not saying that the rest of you are not people of faith. One day, we'll be at the place where when we have these times of prayer, not everybody's going to be coming up to the front because you're going to be turning to one another. You're going to be praying over one another. You're going to be laying hands on each other. And we're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit released more and more and more and more amongst us. But can we stand together? And we're going to sing this song. And as I mentioned earlier, if you need prayer, you come on up and we'll gladly pray with you and for you. Or maybe you're with someone this morning. And maybe you just need to confide in another person. I've got this impossible situation. Would you pray with me? Then you know what? You pray together where you're at. We're going to say thank you, God, for an amazing year. And as we transition into 2019, we say thank you, God, in advance for what you're holding out for us up here because it's going to be amazing. We're going to mature. But we're going to see things that have perhaps never been done before by your hand moving amongst us. Come forward for prayer if you would like.
There's no one greater, you alone our Savior. Show the world love.
Sing that again.
Jesus.